I thought, well, I... I'd like to begin the service this morning with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for gathering us together once again to worship you and pray that you will be in our midst as you promised, and pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit and make them receptive to the word which you've given us through James, the brother of the Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to welcome those of you who are visiting with us by means of the tapes. And we're recording here from the homes of one of our members in beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin, center of God's country. And yesterday I saw one of those sites that I look forward to every year that is really one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It always reminds me of what a man called Aldo Leopold wrote. He was a naturalist that lived in Wisconsin several years ago. He was a professor at the University of Wisconsin, and he wrote an excellent little book called Sand County Almanac. And he begins that book with words something like this. He says, "There are some people who can live without hearing the honk of a wild goose, and some people who can't. This book is written by one who can't." And I guess I kind of feel that way too. And I always look forward to every fall seeing and hearing the geese as they come down the Mississippi Flyway. And especially yesterday was treated to the sight and sound of a beautiful flock of snow geese, which I think is one of the most beautiful sights in all creation. To see these beautiful white geese against the blue Wisconsin sky, it truly is a treat. So I wish you could have been here to see it and hear it, but we can at least tell you about it. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us now here at Water of Life to James chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25. And we're coming here to something that, at least in some circles, the circles that I grew up in my opinion, is probably the most needed verse in the whole Bible. And I think it's the keynote of the book of James. We're talking about chapter 1, verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And the Lord tells us that one of the characteristics of these last days, I think the main characteristic in the churches of these last days, is deception. And Jesus warned us about this. He, and in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, where the disciples ask him, what are the signs of your coming to the end of the world? At least three times the Lord Jesus warns us about false prophets. And he says, "Many false prophets shall come and shall deceive many." This is probably the greatest danger that the church has. But we have another danger here that's even closer to home, and that, James tells us, is self-deception. Deceiving your own selves. And how would that happen? Well, it happens this way. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Evidently, we are very prone to listen to the Word of God, but let it stop right there. And mistaking knowledge for true faith. Now, knowledge is something that you find in your head. But a knowledge doesn't have to affect your life at all. You can know something and not let it affect how you live. But if you really believe something, it's going to affect your life every single day. A knowing of the Word of God is something in the head. A doing of it and a believing of it comes from the heart. And it's very easy to deceive ourselves into thinking that just because we know what's right, it doesn't really make any difference if we do it. This evidently is the one thing that James tries to nail down. He's going to be hitting this later on in his epistle. But the idea of the athletes today say you not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk. The idea that your actions are speaking so loud that I cannot hear your words. And God doesn't care so much what we say as how we live, as a fruit of faith. And then doctors tell us that there's only about 8 inches between the human heart and the human mouth. And it's the heart that God looks at. These are the 8 inches that we've somehow got to have. Now, this idea of deceiving your own selves, the word deceive means to reason amiss, to reason falsely. And it's a very fatal deception. The word is only used twice in the whole Bible. A second time it's used is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read that to you. Verses 3 talks about this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, who are they talking about? Now, who is that person in whom is hidden all the treasures of riches and knowledge? Well, it's Jesus Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then the next verse says, but this I say, lest any man should beguile you. There's that word beguile, which is translated deceive in James 1:22. Beguile. Lest any man beguile you with enticing words. And the devil is always trying to steer us away from Jesus Christ. You've got everything you need in Jesus Christ. The devil tries to beguile you like he did Eve and steer us away. Well, one of the ways he does that is by getting us to believe that as long as we hear the Word of God, we're all right, we don't really have to do it. Well, there's a big difference. This idea of self-deception, it's a scary passage. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 7. And this is a picture of what is going to happen at the last day. And the Son of God is talking, and he says this in Matthew 7, verses 21 and following. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So these are people that have got the right words. You know, they've heard the word of God. They know that much. You know that Jesus is Lord. They know that. But not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice that word, do. Very, very important. That's what James is nailing down. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. These people were deceiving themselves. They thought that they were children of God. They thought they were going to go to heaven. And the Lord says, no, no, it's not going to work that way. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? So that they thought they were doing God's works. That's what they thought. And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are a lot of so-called professionals that think they're doing kingdom work and they're really not. And Christ is always going to look at the heart. He always does. You really can't fool God. So this is what is getting down to the heart. James now, in the next couple verses, tells us how we shouldn't use the Word of God. Then he tells us how we should use it. So we'll look at the negative first. In verses 23 and 24. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. We would say a mirror. Let's use that word, a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Mirrors do not tell lies. You can take a picture and doctor it up. I remember when I graduated from seminary and I had a graduation picture taken, and I looked at it and thought, man, that is really neat. But it wasn't the same person that I saw when I looked in the mirror, unfortunately. The photographer did a beautiful job of patching it up and made it look like a really nice picture, but that wasn't reality. An artist can paint a portrait and gloss over a bunch of things and make it look a lot better than it really is, but you can't get by with that when you look in a mirror. Have your children read the story of Snow White? You know that one? Remember what the Wicked Witch said? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of us all? And the mirror answered and said, it's Snow White. It's not you. It's certainly not you. But the Wicked Witch thought that it would be her. That's what she wanted. At least that's the way I remember the story. But mirrors do not lie. You look in the mirror and what you see is what you get. What you are is what comes back. It's the image. And so James is saying that these guys that hear the word of God but they don't really do it, they're like somebody looking at their natural face in a mirror. And the Bible is kind of like a mirror. And if you look at it, and you look in it, it's going to tell you and show you what you're really like. And the picture is not a very pretty one. It's not what we want to see. It's not what we want to hear. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to turn back to that. In Matthew chapter 15, the Lord tells us what we are like. And he says in verses 18 and following, those things which proceed out of the heart come forth from the heart. You know, the Pharisees had this all mixed up. They thought that if you washed your hands and you got your hands clean, and then whatever you ate, you'd be fine. You'd be perfectly clean. And they would criticize the disciples of Jesus one time because they were walking through a cornfield and they were hungry, and they grabbed some corn and ate it, and they hadn't washed their hands first. And the disciples got all, the Pharisees got all upset about that. And Jesus said, hey, you guys got it all wrong. It's not what goes into the mouth that's the problem. It's what comes out of the heart. And then he shows us what our heart is like. And this is kind of like a mirror now that we look at and see what we're really like. What are we really like? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now you look at that. That is not a very pretty picture. And if you really believe what you see when you look into the mirror of God's Word, you're going to realize you need a Savior. You can't do this on your own. We can. We've got to have help. And we've got to have a lot of help because it's the heart that's wrong. It's not something like you can take two aspirin and you're all right. You need a heart transplant, a spiritual heart transplant, and the only one that can do that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is the thing. The guys, however, that don't do the Word of God, they see what they're like, but they walk out and they forget about it. Forget about living their faith. They feel they really don't have to. It's always a fatal error. Now, the right way of using the word is found in verse 25. Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When I read this, I thought of Psalm 1. One of the reasons I like this psalm is because it, one of the reasons why it was the text for my wedding, and another reason is because it shows how this whole thing is going to end up. And it starts off this way, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That's what he doesn't do. But now what does he do? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is he going to be like? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're studying in Genesis today, and we're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to study the third day, Genesis 1, day number 3. And one of the things you're going to find out in there, which you already know, I'm sure, is that when God created trees, they were fruit trees. And they were supposed to bear fruit. And in Psalm 1, that's what the Lord is talking about. This tree, this a godly tree, always produces fruit. Now, this is called good works. And the devil likes to put that down. Good works, but that's what it's called. And you've got self-deception here in verse 22. I want you to circle this verse in your Bible, because this is the key verse of the whole chapter. Verse 22, James 1, is a key verse of the whole book. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. False deception, self-deception is the worst kind. And, you know, when you die and go to heaven, your soul comes before the judgment seat of God. God's not going to give you a written test. If he would, even the devil could pass that. There are a lot of people who are heathen people that could pass a written test. God does not give written tests. When you come to the judgment seat, he's going to look at your life. What kind of a life did you lead that came from the faith that you said you had in my son? And it's going to get back to looking at the heart again. And if the fruit is not there, why, the Lord says the tree is going to be cut down and it's going to be thrown into the fire. Now, there's a fine line here. But that's true of every teaching of Scripture, isn't it? We're not talking here, and James is not talking about working your own way into heaven. He's not talking about that at all. The very truth is we're saved by grace through faith. That's a blessed, blessed truth. Thank God. It's not what we do, it's what Jesus Christ has done. But at the same time, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. This doesn't mean that good works have nothing to play in the thing either. Because they do. And the Lord tells us himself that if there's no fruit on the tree, that's evidence that you don't really have a faith. And the tree's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's about what we've got to say on these verses. I'd like to end the sermon with a little thought that is kind of helpful in this, I think, and that is this, that the devil, you know, the devil is a god of lies. He's a liar and the father of it, and God is the God of truth. So the devil has spread a lot of lies in the world. But there are two lies that he has spread that are bigger than all the other ones. And the biggest lie that the devil has spread is this, that as long as you live right, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. This is a lie that of work righteousness. As long as you live the best life you can, you don't need Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe he's the Son of God. It doesn't make any difference. God is going to accept you because you've done the best you can. That's a lie. That's the greatest lie the devil has spread into the world. But the second greatest lie is this, that as long as you believe right, it doesn't make any difference how you live. Either lie is deadly poison. And I guess finally, in the end, if you go to hell, it doesn't make any difference what lie you believe. One is as bad as the other. I will close then with a little prayer. Lord Jesus, you have blessed us by giving us the teachings of your holy word. And now today you give each one of us a warning, and we pray that the warning will be aimed at our own heart first and not the hearts of others. keep us from the fatal self-deception of being a hearer of the Word but not a doer of it. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would fill our hearts and make them receptive to your Word, that the faith which we have in you may show itself every single day in the life that we lead. Being mindful that the fruit is not tied on the branches, but the branches bear the fruit. I pray this in your name. Amen.